Today's reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 48 to 59. And this can be found on page 1071 of the Red Bibles. Starting at verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever.
Thank you very much, Sally. Before we look at those verses together, let's pray and let's ask for the Lord's help. Our God, we want to thank you again that you are a speaking God. You've not left us guessing about what you're like, but you've given us your word. And we pray as we look at it together now that by your Spirit you would help us to see more of your Son, Jesus. Show us more of who he is and what he's like. And we pray that what we learn of him would be good medicine for our souls. And we pray that for his sake. Amen. I want you to imagine that I'm about to go on a long journey, a hike through the desert. It should take me about 4 or 5 weeks. It's quite a trek. And I've got all my stuff together. I just want to show you some of the stuff that I've got. I've got, obviously I've got a sleeping bag and a tent, which I will need. I've got a cooker. Brilliant. Stove, a water bottle. I'm very, very pleased with this because I've got, not everyone has one of these. I've got a head torch. Brilliant. Just what I need. Head torch in case it gets dark. And there's a plate to eat off and a whole set of pots and pans and things like that. And I've got a glass to drink out of and a very handy penknife and a very useful piece of string in the event of an emergency. And a spoon and a cup. And I've got loads of stuff. I've got a bowl. And I have got a cuddly toy. And, oh, not only have I got a cuddly toy, I have got... this is the kind of best thing of all. Not quite sure how it works. It is a camping seat. No actual legs. but that's camping for you. But anyway, that's all the kind of equipment I've got. There it is. That's me. Next 4 weeks, that's all my stuff. Do you think I've got everything I need? What are you worried that I'm missing? A gas-powered fridge. Okay, okay. Even if I had a gas-powered fridge, what might I still be missing? Food, yes. It could be a bit of a problem, isn't it? Four weeks through the desert, and they don't have a Sainsbury's, and I've got no food. What do you think might happen to me if I don't have any food? I might starve. I might die. Food means I will live. Without food, I will die. And in our passage today, Jesus is saying he is the food we need for our journey. Look at verse 48. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am like food for the journey. With me, you will live. Or without me, you will die. The background to this is the Old Testament. Do you remember in the Old Testament when the Lord rescued his people from Egypt? And the Israelites, they're just about to escape from the Egyptians, and they're heading through the desert on the way to the promised land, and they're carrying all their stuff, their tents and their blankets and their pots and their pans and their teddy bears and their pen knives. But in the desert, there was a problem that they ran into. Do you remember what that problem was? Anyone remember what that problem was? What did they start grumbling about and complaining about? No food. There was no Sainsbury's in the desert, which meant there was no food. And the people thought, oh no, we're going to die. Do you remember they got really cross with Moses? Stupid idea, taking us out in the desert. And there isn't even any food. And do you remember what the Lord did? He gave them bread to eat. Every day he provided bread from heaven. Very special bread that they called manna. And that bread meant they lived. They lived. Without the bread, they would have died. But because the Lord gave them bread, they lived. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now, our trouble is, bread doesn't really grab our attention particularly. I mean, bread is lovely and everything, but it's not that special, isn't it? I mean, we have bread every day, loads of it. Who has had bread today? Anyone have bread today? Okay, most people. What sort of bread do you have? What sort of bread did you have? Toast. It's a good sort of bread to have. Did anyone else have anything different from toast? Sandwich bread. What did you have, Jack? Sorry? Rye bread. Very fat, very good for you, very healthy. What sort of bread did you have? A baguette. Very continental. Yes, what sort of bread did you have, Gordon? Pita bread. Very classy, aren't we? Yes, there's a whole range of bread. We've got loads of bread. It's all over the place. There are bakeries down the road full of the stuff. We've got larders full of the stuff. It just seems a bit kind of humdrum. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we think, bread, schmed. If Jesus has said, I am the chocolate fudge cake of life, well, then we would have been all ears. But he says, I am the bread of life. And we think, well, bread, you know. But imagine you were in the desert and there was no bread. And there was no Sainsbury's. And you were starving. And someone gave you some bread. See how special that bread would become? See how that bread would be the difference between life and death. And Jesus is saying, I am the difference between life and death. That's how special I am. And we say, well, what do you mean? What sort of life and death does he mean? What's he talking about? Look at verse 49. He says, your forefathers ate the manna, that special bread, in the desert, yet they died. You see, the bread God gave them in the desert kept them going through the desert. He got them to the promised land, but in the end, they did die. It was physical bread. It gave them physical life, which comes to an end. But you see what Jesus says in verse 50. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am that living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying in the desert, God gave his people bread. Now God is giving me, he's saying. I am the living bread. And I won't just get you through the desert into the promised land and then you will die. He says, I will get you into eternity and you will never die. He says, I will raise you up into the new creation, the whole world made new. So bread gives life. And Jesus is saying, I am the bread that gives eternal life. And later on in John's gospel, Jesus explains what eternal life is. And he says eternal life is not so much a new quantity of life. You know, it's like life like this, it just goes on and 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 on. It's not so much a new quantity as a new quality of life. He says eternal life is about knowing God. It's a friendship with God that starts now and lasts forever. So who here is alive? Who reckons they're alive? I reckon that's most of us. See, the Bible says that we can be alive, physically alive. Our heart can be beating and our arms can be waving. But if we're not friends with God, then on the inside we're dead. Because God is the fountain of life. Do you remember Psalm 36? He's the source of life. So if we're not connected to the source of life, then we don't have life. But knowing God, knowing the God who is the source of life, means we come alive. We've got life. Life in all its fullness. Life as it's really meant to be, that starts now and lasts forever and ever and ever. And it seems to me a lot of people have packed for the journey of their lives. And they packed a whole bag full of tents and blankets and sleeping bags and camping chairs and all with designer labels. I mean, top of the range camping stuff. Bag upon bag of the sort of things they think will make the journey fun. And they think they have everything they need. But there's something they've forgotten. They don't have the one thing they really need. See, they may live a little, but they don't have life. Not real life, because they don't have the bread of life, because they don't have Jesus. So Jesus says, without me, you are dead. You're not friends with God. But I'm the food you need. I'm the food you need that will give you life, that will make you friends with God now and forever. The question then is, well, how does he make us friends with God? So I've got loaf of bread issues here. There we go. How does he make us friends with God? How does he give us eternal life? I have in this box two fish fingers. And if you eat a fish finger, that's a good thing to do. That's good for you. It's nourishing. Is it oily fats? I don't know. Good for you anyway. What had to happen to the fish before you could eat the fish? It pretty much had to die. I mean, you know, eating a living fish is a tricky business. But it's very sad, but before we could eat the fish, it had to be killed and sort of cut into finger shapes and breaded and fried. See, for food to give us life, it has to die. So you want to eat fish fingers, fish has to die. You want to eat beef burgers, cows have to die. You want to eat chips, potatoes have to die. They have to be chopped up. You want to eat carrots. I mean, you may not want to eat carrots, but if you should want to eat carrots, even carrots, you have to pull them up out of the ground and they die. And even bread is made from wheat that has to be, well, crushed and baked. The wheat has to die to become bread that gives us life. And Jesus says he's a bit like that. Look at verse 51. He says, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He's saying, in order for us to live, he is going to give his flesh. And you read on, and you see he's talking about his death. He's saying, I am the food you need. And like all other food, you will live because I will die. And we say, well, how does his death bring us life? Well, here we are. We've thought about it like this before. Here we are, and the bad way that we've treated God, that say God is up there, means there is a barrier between us and him. That means we can't be friends with God, which means we don't have life. We're not connected with him. We're dead. And Jesus, who says he is fully alive, he comes from God, from heaven, and on the cross, just like Isaiah said, you remember, our wrongdoing is laid on him. So because he died, do you see what's happened? The way to life with God is open up again. We can be friends with God. So Jesus is saying two things. He's saying he is the bread who gives us eternal life. And he's saying he gives us life by his death. Final thing. How do we actually receive the life he gives us by his death? Definitely got space issues here. Well, how do we receive the life he gives us by his death? Well, look at this. What do you have to do to a fish finger before it does you any good? Will it nourish me if I wear this fish finger as sort of a pair of earrings? Will that do me any good? No. If I put this fish finger in my pocket, will that do me any... No. What do I have to do? If I just sniff the fish finger for a bit, will that do me any good? No. I will have to actually eat the fish finger. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 53. You shouldn't really talk with your mouth full. So I'm going to have to wait a minute because I'm very well mannered. And there are small children watching. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But he's not saying we're to literally eat his body. He's telling us how to approach his death. What do we do with his death? And the main theme of this whole chapter is he wants people to believe in him, and he's showing us what it means to believe in his death. So imagine you are in the desert, and you are starving hungry, and you're going to die, and someone gives you a loaf of bread. Would you believe that that loaf of bread could save your life? I think you probably would. You're starving. Someone gives you a loaf of bread. If you really believe that loaf of bread could save your life, what would you do with the bread? You would what? You would eat it. You wouldn't just sort of tear a little bit off and put it in your pocket and say, "You know, I really think bread is going to save my life. I'll put it in my pocket and keep it there. Good luck." You wouldn't just kind of walk around holding it or thinking about it. You would pretty much, I've done it again now. You would bite into it. Your whole life depends on it. And that is what Jesus means. Oh, much too big a mouthful. Jesus says, I'm never going to get a dry mouth. Let's chat amongst yourselves for a moment. You should think these things through in advance. I should have had an assistant eating bread for me. Jesus is saying, in the desert, You would eat the bread and you would say, bread, my whole life depends on you. I believe you can save me. I'm going to eat you. Yeah? And Jesus is saying that's what it means to believe in him. To say, Jesus, my whole life depends on your death for me. And a lot of people think they're okay because they believe in Jesus. They say, oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe he existed. We believe he died on a cross. We believe he was raised from the dead. Yeah, we've been going along to church for years. We're from a Christian family. We read the Bible. We enjoy singing the songs. We believe in Jesus. But Jesus is not doing them any good. It's like they've got the bread, but they kept it in the bread bin. And they say they believe in him, but they're not really feeding on him. They've just got him in the bread bin. They know all about bread. Bread does you good. Jesus does you good. But they're not feeding on him. And the question is, why would they not feed on him? And the answer is because they must have forgotten how much they need him. They must have forgotten that they are like people in a desert who are starving. And he is bread. So they're thinking, well, it's nice to have Jesus around. You know, it's great to know a bit about Jesus. But they've forgotten that it's a matter of life and death. Now, I can't see into anyone's hearts. Obviously, I can't. But maybe that's you. Maybe you're someone, you say you believe in Jesus. But the truth is, you've got him in the bread bin. But wouldn't today be a great day to get him out of the bread bin and to feed on him for the very first time, to go to him as a starving man would go to a loaf of bread in the desert and say, Jesus, you're my only hope of life. Without you, I'm dead. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That's what it means to feed on him. And of course, the thing about feeding is you don't stop. I mean, imagine if you invited someone around for supper and you brought in huge platefuls of chicken casserole. It'd be very odd if they said, well, actually, no, we don't eat anymore. You what? Yeah, we ate last summer on holiday. We went on this kind of eating camp and that was quite enough of that, you know. The thing about food is you keep eating. And it may be that you're someone who's stopped feeding on Jesus, as perhaps you once did. Wouldn't today be a great day to start feeding on him again? To go to him again and say, I'm going to go to you every day and say to you, Jesus, more than anything else in my life, today what I need is for you to give me life, to help me to be better friends with God, to help me to know him better. Go to him. Feed on him. Dreadful thing if we've just got into the habit of leaving him in the bread bin because we've forgotten how much we need him. Go to him, feed on him, and look what he promises. Just look back to verse 35, which Sally didn't read. It wasn't in our passage, but it just pulls it all together. Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He promises if we go to him, we will never be hungry. Again, think of God's people in the desert. In the desert, God's people never went hungry. Every day he gave them the food they needed to get them to the promised land. And Jesus is saying in the same sort of way, he's the food that means we will never grow hungry. All the other things we might pack into our kit bags might keep us going for a little bit, but they can't give us the life that we need to get to the promised land, the new creation. We'll die before we get there. But what Jesus is saying is he is the food that will keep us alive. He will get us from here all the way into the world made new, where he will raise us up for life with God forever. Feed on him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize again today that you are the bread that we desperately need. And we're sorry for the times when we've
not thought you were very special or that we needed you very much. Thank you that you are the bread who gives us life that starts now and lasts forever. And we ask that you would show each one of us more of what it will mean to feed on you, to trust in you day by day. Amen. We're going to do what we do every week at Emmanuel. Just spend 2 or 3 minutes reflecting on the things we've been hearing. There'll be a question or two that will appear on the screen to help us do that. You may want to do that together with the person next to you if they look friendly and up for it. But we don't want to sort of bounce anyone into talking about things they're not ready to talk about. So do respect one another's privacy too. But just 2 or 3 minutes to think these things through together. And then there'll be a chance for some questions that people might want to ask too. Do keep thinking about those things together over tea when you get home a little bit later on. But has anyone got a question they would like to ask? Or it's lovely when people make comments as well, things that they were particularly struck by, or wisdom, insight that you can share with the rest of us. We've had a bit more of that recently, and that's been a great encouragement, I think. But has anyone got questions to ask or comment they'd like to make? And if you have, put up your hand and Gordon will come racing over. Kenny.
Hi, Mike. Thanks very much for that. I was just wondering, did the Jews back then know what he was talking about, just specifically verse 52? Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
I think that's right, Kenny. I think they're really puzzled. So that's why he has to explain, verse 53 onwards. I think they're puzzled. What are you talking? Are you saying we should eat your body? Are you talking about eating you? Cannibalism? What are you talking about? So he has to explain that what he's talking about is his death, and he's using a picture, that eating is a picture of believing in him. But I think you're right, they're really puzzled at first. Yeah, they think it's very strange language. Yeah. Anyone else got a question they'd like to ask, or a comment? Who's got a comment? Going...